Hey, great to see everybody. I actually said it last week. I said every single time that I come here, I always say the same thing over and over and over again, and that is I love coming around rural campus, and today is no different. I absolutely love coming here. Here's something interesting about our church, if I can say it this way. I don't know if you understand this or not. Certainly, if you're a guest with us, I want you to understand what you're sitting in. We are one church in three locations, right? And so now what's interesting is the other two campuses right now only have one service. So you're just more spiritual than they are. Because you're here earlier, okay? So they're not quite, they haven't quite started service. I think both of them start at 10. And so I know we do back in Plainview. So about 10 o'clock when I'm hopefully winding this sermon down. But we'll see what happens with that. They will be starting their service. But it's so cool to think about this, that God is doing some incredible things in the lives of people, not just here in Amarillo this morning, but simultaneously doing amazing things in the lives of people in Plainview as well as in Lubbock with one heart, one vision, all right, one mission, with one message this morning. So they're not hearing something different. They're hearing the same message this morning as well. And so isn't that incredible that we're sitting in that right now? It's awesome. Okay, I'm the only one. Okay, cool. You know what? It's fine. You guys, it's early. So see, they don't have the early service, so they always clap at that. But, you know, it's whatever. First service, no, it's too late now. It's too late for that now. But anyways, but here's the thing. I find that incredible that we have the people of God everywhere. So here's one of my points, is that whenever I come here, I don't feel like a guest. I don't feel like a guest. I'm one of the pastors of Harvest Christian Fellowship, so when I come here, I don't feel like a guest. If you were to next week drive down to Plainview and go there, you're not a guest. Don't park in the guest parking. You understand what I'm saying? Like if they try to give you like a, if somebody walks up and goes, oh, are you new here? Great, Kid City's over here. You go, this is my home. I know where Kid City is. Get off me. All right, and so, and just go where you're supposed to go. You're not a guest there. We are one church, guys. We're one church, three locations. And so when we do life together, man, we're doing life together right now with people in Plainview and with people in Lubbock right now. If we were all to pack up right now, drive a bus, it would be a really big bus, but if we all got on a bus and drove down to Lubbock and just walked in, we could own the joint. Because it's our house too. Does that make sense to you? And if when they come up here, they're not guests. We're one church, three locations. And I just think it's phenomenal what God is kind of doing up and down I-27 with Harvest in particular. There's a lot of great churches around here. Amen? And we need them, don't we? Amen. To do what they do. But specifically for us, since we're here, it is amazing to just think about what God is doing in and through our church called Harvest Christian Fellowship. And so again, I just love coming here. So thanks, Pastor Curtis, for letting me be here to support you and all of that. I love you guys a great deal. So if you have your Bibles, it's of no surprise, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians. Had to check the graphic real quick. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians this morning, and we will get there shortly. So let me kind of paint a picture this morning, because we're starting kind of a 7-part series in the book of 1 Corinthians, but we're going to kind of start in a bit of an odd way, because what we want to do this morning is we want to spend some time kind of setting the stage, if you will, for this series and kind of how we approach some things, because I think it's important for us to kind of set our hearts right as we go into it. And so we're going to compare and contrast two different churches that we find in the Bible, okay? And so when we think about the city of Corinth, the city of Corinth is actually on an isthmus. It's like a little narrow strip of land that separates two different seas. If you look at it like in your Bible, some of your Bibles have maps in the back, so you can follow along with what I'm saying. Some of you don't have maps in the back of your Bible, and I apologize for that. Because they're fun. They were always fun as a kid. Those are the pages I studied the most, because I just thought it was fascinating. And so Corinth was actually located on in Greece, located on just a little narrow strip of land that actually separated two different seas right there, Aegean Sea there and the Adriatic Sea. It separated, so it actually served as actually two seaports. Okay? So two seaports, and so it ended up being kind of like a gateway between southern and northern Greece. And so it was highly populated, lots of people, roughly about 500,000 people in Paul's day inhabited the city of Corinth. And so it was a massive city, a center for art and entertainment, had a lot of influences when it came to that. It was actually in a region called Achaia, and it was a Roman province, a Roman city in Paul's day. And so heavily populated city, a lot of trade, a lot of people in and out, really a gateway city by nature. That's what it was. But what we also get is we get a lot of sexual immorality in the city. It was marked by sexual immorality. In fact, one of the interesting things that Pastor Paul was telling us in some of the research that he did is that in that day and age, they would actually use the word Corinthians to describe someone that was sexually immoral in other parts of the world. Interesting, right? I kind of equated it to whenever I heard it, the first thing I thought of, and maybe this is bad, but the first thing I thought of was whenever I was in Washington. Like, I remember my wife was telling this story to somebody the other day, and it reminded me. I was opening up a door for a lady that was coming into a place of business. I opened up the door for her. She was kind of struggling with some stuff, and I opened up the door, and she looked at me and goes, "You must be Southern." And I went, "I'm sorry, I don't know, what does that mean," right? But that's the way that they would equate it. Yeah, Southern people, they open up doors for ladies, how dare they? They say yes ma'am and no ma'am and yes sir and no sir. God, I hate those guys, right? And so, right, and so that, but that was the Corinthians in Paul's day. They would go, okay, so you're acting a particular way. They'd go, you're acting like a Corinthian. That would be like a cut down. Right? And so this is kind of the atmosphere of Paul's day with this city. The church of Corinth was actually established on Paul's second missionary journey, and he stayed about 2 years. That's debatable for some theologians, how long did he stay, but for about 2 years he stayed and begin to establish that church. This is where he met Priscilla and Aquila, if you know your Bible well, and they kind of help establish that church there. He stayed there for 2 years, then actually visited a second time on his third missionary journey. And so this was a church that Paul kind of got around, wrote two letters to them, first and you guys are smart. Second Corinthians, first and second Corinthians in your Bible. So he wrote two letters to them, and so we have that city. Now, what we're wanting to do is compare and contrast it with the city of Thessalonica, which Paul also wrote two letters to. First and you guys are on it. Second Thessalonians, okay? And so when you think about Thessalonica was actually is actually also a seaport, but it's up in a region called Macedonia, and it's a seaport kind of and a kind of a gateway to the region of Macedonia in Paul's day. It actually had its first name was Therma, for kind of the hot springs that were around there, and it got changed in 315 BC for the half sister of Alexander the Great. It was named after her, Thessalonica. And so this city was also heavily populated, wasn't quite as populated as Corinth, but it had a lot of people in it, kind of a gateway city as well, a lot of influence in the Macedonia area, because that's where people would sell in their ships, land there, and then part ways through there. Ignatius Road ran through there, the Roman Road ran through there as well, and so heavily traffic throughout that region, And Paul actually never intended on going there. He actually wanted to go somewhere else, but by the leading of the Holy Spirit, by the leading of God, it sent him away to Macedonia, okay, away from where he wanted to go at the time. If you read some of his journeys, he sends them out that direction. He ends up in Thessalonica, and actually between him, Silas, and Timothy, they kind of established the church there in Thessalonica. All right, so those are the two different cities that we have. Now, do I want you just to walk out this morning with just a geography lesson? No, because most of you know more geography than I do, and history than I do, and all of that kind of stuff. That would do us no good if I just said, all right, man, those two cities were awesome. Paul went there, preached to them, said some good stuff. They changed the name, Therma to Thessalonica. Super smart. It's a good idea. And then we just prayed and just left. That wouldn't help anything about who we are as people. So, but why do I want to set the stage that way? It's for this reason. Because if we're going to compare and contrast these, what I want you to see is that both of these cities really have the same potential. They're really kind of the same thing. They're seaports. They're gateway-style cities. They're heavily trafficked cities. And the churches that are planted there have really the same message preached to them. And they actually have the same opportunity to influence the region around them. And yet what we see is one struggles a lot to ever realize that reality, to ever realize their potential. They struggle. If you read your Bible, you know which one I'm talking about. It's the one we're going to deal with in this series. They struggle to realize the potential of what they have in that moment. Whereas when we read our Bible, the church of Thessalonica actually excels as they receive the same message that even the people in Corinth did, and they respond to it differently. They actually receive the word and apply it differently. And it causes some issues with how they influence the areas around them. And so that's what I want us to look at today. So, I mean, if you're like a church history thing, like literally, let's see, where am I at here? All right, so y'all see how I do my notes? Crazy. Like, I have a bazillion facts, if you want them. I'm just going to set them right here. And if you want to look at them, now you have to leave those because then I have to do another service after this. So if you take those, I did most of that by memory, but if I wanted to add something else that was cool to second service that you missed, don't take those. But if you want to look at all the other facts that we have on there, they're right there for you, all right? So here's what I want us to look at. They both had that opportunity, okay? But Corinth had, they were riddled with problems, riddled with issues. I mean, they are a disaster. That they take their opportunity to be influenced, and here's what they wrestle with. They wrestle back and forth with being influenced by the world that's there, the reality that they live in. Both cities had issues because both cities had idols, lots of gods. I mean, they were many god cities, and so they had all sorts of philosophical influences and things of that sort because that's where everybody would gather. In those regions. Does that make sense to you? And so Corinth seemed to struggle with pulling away from the influence of the world and becoming an influence on their own, whereas the church for the Thessalonians, they excelled in separating themselves, and we'll see that in some of the texts that we have. But both of them, I want you to get this from the very beginning, both of them heard the word. But then what they did was they took that word, and as they received it and applied it, it was very different. For both of them. And for the Corinthians, they show immaturity. That's the word I want you to get this morning. It's going to be a great morning. Immaturity. That was really the essence of their problem, is that they were immature at best. Paul actually expresses this idea, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. It says this, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in human ways? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and God's building. Now, interestingly enough, like I would love, I told you guys last week, it took me about 29 weeks to get to the book of Colossians. I told you that last week in the church that I pastored in Washington. This would be a great time because 1 Corinthians is much, much longer. But we are not, we literally only have 6 weeks after today. So we're going to do like a 7 week flyover of the book of 1 Corinthians. But if you really want a good time, just walk through the book of 1 Corinthians. Like, I wish we could do that. That would be awesome. Because what you miss out by me just reading that text is where he's gone up to now. Because he actually starts with this idea. If you look early on in chapter 1, he actually starts the book with this idea. He says, hey, I thank God for you. And then he goes into, you guys are saying, man, I follow Apollos and I follow Paul. Is Christ divided? He starts with this idea. So some of you might be like, well, why are we in chapter 3? What happened before that? He's dealing with the same thing already. He's saying you have a fundamental misunderstanding, a fundamental problem that's causing issues in you, and it all centers around who's giving you the message. So he goes into it. And in fact, in chapter 1, he says, you know, some say this about Apollo. Some say this about me, Paul. Is Christ divided? And then he goes, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. Except for these two guys. It's like he has this moment like he's writing, so glad I didn't baptize any of you. Well, except those two guys. And this other household. But I don't remember if I baptized any of you other guys. I'm just so thankful I'm not that connected. Because you guys are crazy. And then he goes into it. He goes into, there is a wisdom from the world. And there is a wisdom from the Spirit. He goes into those kinds of ideas, and then he starts rolling into this same concept. Then he rolls right back to it. And this is the reason why I can't hardly even talk to you, because you're so immature. And where's their immaturity found? In their rejection and their acceptance of whatever messenger they have. Which messenger came? So they have this fundamental misunderstanding of how we're supposed to approach God's messenger and the message that's supposed to be there. That's their problem. So they go, some people are over here going, nah, man, I only listen to Apollos because Apollos is amazing. And he looks sharp. He's got perfectly, you know, coiffed hair. And I want to listen to that guy, and he's very good. Paul's over here, he's all rough, he's all like a tent maker and stuff like that. And I can't hardly even look at him. I don't want to look at him. I don't want to listen to him. He talks crazy. He talks mean, right? I don't want to talk to that guy. I don't want to do any of that stuff. You see that? So the immaturity is found in what? How they receive God's message was determined on who is the messenger. That was the problem. And I totally jacked this from Brad Snowgrove, Pastor Brad down in Plainview, totally jacked this from his sermon notes, because we typically sent it, which now that I think about it, I don't think I sent mine. Whoops. It's on tape that I'm saying I'm sorry that I did not send my sermon notes to you. Okay. But I straight jacked this from Pastor Brad's notes, because he put in there, if you reject the messenger, it is almost impossible to receive the message. And I love that statement. If you reject the messenger, or if you have issue with the messenger, like if that's what you get wrapped up in, then it is almost impossible for you to accept the message. Okay, so I'll give you an example from my life, not yours. Okay, just so that you feel better about it. From my life, like I tend to struggle because I love to preach and I love the word and I love that kind of stuff. I tend to be hypercritical of anybody else that speaks. Okay, just being transparent. So I would, so whenever I first moved to maybe we shouldn't record this. Turn it off. All right. So whenever I first got to Plainview and was on staff there, I was used to preaching every Sunday morning. That's what I did. So I was used to preaching every Sunday morning. So when I got here and didn't preach every Sunday morning, I would sit in the chairs and I would tell my wife afterwards, I'm really struggling because all I want to do is just be critical. Like, I would have said that differently. Why did you bring up that? Oh, man, if we just kept reading this text, oh my God, if we just exegeted this. And I would just go through, like, I would be, but here's what I started discovering in my own heart. I was totally missing anything out of the message. I wasn't getting anything out of it. And why? Because I was so focused in on the presentation, who was talking, how they were saying it. That's what he's talking about. He's going, you guys are infants. I can't even feed you solid food, and you're still not ready. And here's the essence of your problem. Some of you are like going, well, I only listen to Apollos, or I only follow Paul. That's not even the point. The messenger isn't the point. The point is the message and your ability to receive that message and then apply it. I think we talked about that last week. It's almost as if God's trying to say something to us. It's almost as if God has a plan to speak into our hearts right now. That he's saying, listen, it can't be. If you get wrapped up into certain things like that, then you miss out on what's there. So what did I have to do? I had to change my heart about how I approached this thing. I had to, because I was going home and feeling like I'm not getting anything out of it. Well, I spent my whole time critiquing. Spent my whole time being a critic of it. And wasn't really paying attention to the message. Listen, the messenger actually has nothing to do with it. It's not about the message, the messenger at all. It's all about the message that's coming your way. And the Thessalonians seem to understand this. And I want to read this text to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. Because remember, we're comparing and contrasting the church of Corinth and the church of Thessalonica. So I want you to read what he does here. All right, chapter 1, starting in verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and love and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in the Lord, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to stop there and just say, it is not as if Paul does not say something along this lines to the Corinthians. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he also says, I'm thanking of you in my prayers. I'm giving thanksgiving to God. But if you read it, it does read slightly different. He's very emphatic and very direct, and it's very good here. There's like this weird tone in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians for the Corinthians, and there's a reason for it. So it's not that, but then he keeps going. Listen to what he says. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. God, so we could preach that verse all day. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with joy and, of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And so what I want you to see here is he goes, we're not really having to say anything to you. I mean, you guys are blowing it up. You guys you have received what God has done. He received his word. And then you have followed our example. You've become an imitator of us. And now you're blessing the whole world, the whole region here, through your influence. You have become an example to all of these believers. And I don't know if you caught it or not, but not only for Macedonia, but also for where Corinth is. Did you catch that? It's in the same region where Corinth is. You're being an example to them. This is what you've become. that's what's happening in this moment for the church of Thessalonians. And he says, it's so to that point, I don't have anything to say to you. Now read the book of 1 Corinthians and see if Paul has anything to say to them. The whole letter is to correct everything that has gone wrong with the church of Corinth, if you read it. It's basically a whole letter going, God, you guys are terrible at this. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. You guys are so terrible at this. Let me correct everything about your life with Jesus. And all he does for the Thessalonians is just kind of talks about a couple of a few concerns that they have. He really just helps them to understand some concerns, things like the end times. He kind of deals with some of those kinds of things, right? And he just kind of deals with some concerns, but there's no like, you guys are terrible at spiritual gifts. I would, you know what? In fact, let's try to fix this, all right? Let's get this thing right. You guys are so disorderly and weird. Stop it, right? There's none of that for the Thessalonians. He says at this point that we can't say anything to you. They received and are applying things differently. Where what I love is Paul's plea with the Corinthians, you see it by the time you get to 1 Corinthians 11. He says, follow my example. This is verse 1. Follow my example. Become literally imitators of me, Corinthians. As I follow the example of Christ, or as I imitate Christ, please follow me. But what did he just say about the Thessalonians? Oh, you've done that. Oh, you've become imitators of us. But then he says, you've taken it a step further. You've already on your own become an imitator of the Lord. To where now you're able to look at everybody else and say, come follow us as we follow Christ. See what I'm saying? So Paul's plea to the Corinthians is, you're a mess. Just look to me right now. Follow my example as I follow Christ. Because you have no clue what you're doing. Because you're immature, petty, and weird. So stop. Look to me and just follow my example and you'll get it right. Follow the leader. Simon says, right? That's what he does in this moment. But for the Thessalonians, he says, you're Simon. You say Simon says because people can look to you and follow you. What's the difference between the two? How they received the word and applied it. How they shut out the world's influence and just became an influence in and of themselves to influence a region, to influence a part of the world. That's what they've done. Where even now Paul says, You are an example to everyone else. You're an example to every believer. Every believer, no matter where I go, I can say, look at the Thessalonians because how they receive the word and how they apply the word is an example to all believers, not just in their own area, but in areas everywhere. That's what they've done. And Paul is still having to, with the Corinthians, go, You guys are so hung up on who's talking to you. I mean, you can't even get it. Like, who's talking to you? So that's this is why I love 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It's the last text I'll read, and then I'll start wrapping it up. Did you catch that? Didn't say wrap it up. But I love what he says here, because this is the essence of what he's saying. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, he just kind of stops in the middle of it. He just got done thanking God for him, and then he stops in the middle of some of his instructions, and he says this, and we also thank God constantly for this. This is what I thank God for, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. And then what I love, which is at work in you believers. That this word is at work in you. And it takes a mature person to go, it doesn't matter how the word of God gets to me, I want it to be right here. I want it to be in here so that it can grow and produce transformation in my life. It doesn't matter how I got. So the Corinthians get so petty. Who's talking to me? Who's the messenger? Which team am I on? I'm team Paul. I'm team Apollos. got t-shirts.
Cloaks. Okay, we'll go with cloaks. They have cloaks.
Right? Team Paul. Team, right?
Okay. You want a really good practical example of this? Because here's what's crazy. Is I think it's so interesting because what I love is that if you look at the first parts of both of these letters, and really most of the letters of Paul, if you look at it, there's another guy with him helping him write to the Corinthians. And if you read 1 Thessalonians, there's three guys listed as the authors. No, Paul wrote it. There's three guys listed as the authors. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. All three of them are writing to the Thessalonians. They are a team of people. This is the reason why Paul constantly says, you've received us. There's this team of people that are working. And it's almost as if Silas is like going, put that in there. And Timothy's like, I know I'm the young guy, but I'm just saying. Right? He kind of creates this atmosphere that, look, it doesn't matter where the message is coming from. Now, what I like is, to be fair, to the Corinthians, right after the text that we just read a moment ago, he actually goes into it. Look, if anybody starts building on a different foundation than the foundation that's Christ, that's wrong. But if it's built on the foundation that's Christ, he should be careful how he builds. But if he's teaching the Word of God, then just receive it. Then receive the Word of God. It doesn't matter who's talking to you. Okay, practical example. You deal with this all the time. In fact, you've dealt with it for 2 weeks already. Object lesson, boom, just dropped it on you. Because that just happened for the last 2 weeks. Right? And I get it. Like, some of you are like, you already saw Pastor Curtis here and you were like, finally. But then you saw me walk in, and I have the mic on. Right? You saw me walk in, and you were like, oh, thanks for... Oh, no. Not going to get anything out of this. You know what? If Pastor Paul would show up... If Pastor Paul showed up... I mean, his name is Paul. He got named after the Apostle Paul. No, he didn't. I bet you that's not true. I bet you they just named him Paul. But anyways, I don't know. I didn't know his parents, but all I'm saying is they probably didn't. But even if they did, if Pastor Paul would come here, you know what? If Pastor Paul would get here, he'd take care of business. Right? I only listen to Pastor Curtis. I will only listen to him. Oh, it got, woo! That example, man, okay. You know what? I love it when Pastor Brad preaches in Plainview, because he's supposed to preach in Plainview. Right? Similarly, have you been setting us up this whole time? Maybe, diabolical. No. Are we preaching this message for that point? No. I just think it's a great example. I think it's a practical example that we live all the time. Does it really matter? Does it really matter who stands up here and preaches? I get it. My pedagogical style is way different than others. Their style is different. I get it. I understand that. It can be all different. But does it, at the end of the day, let's just be honest, at the end of the day, when the Word of God is preached, should it matter where it comes from? What's so fun in the Bible is God does fun things like take enemies of the Lord and only make him speak blessings. Remember that from the Old Testament? Right? And it still, does the blessing still happen? Yeah. Because it's the Word of the Lord. It doesn't matter who it's coming through. Do you see what I'm saying? At the end of the day, what's maturity for us? Maturity is, I'm going to receive the Word of God by any means necessary. That if the Word of God is going to be presented, I want some. I'm going to position my heart well to receive it. Well, that's not my favorite style. I understand. I get it. I get it. We have particular styles that we like and enjoy. I totally understand that. But what you can't, and that's fine. What I'm not saying is you can't have those particular opinions. That's fine to have those, and it's fine to like certain things about them. Okay, I get it. I totally understand that because I'm that way. But here's the deal. But maturity sets those aside when the Word of God is preached so that we might receive and apply rightly and not get caught up into all of that. See what I'm saying? Because God has something to say to us. He's trying to speak to us all the time. He's trying to speak to us. This is why I'll give you another example just to kind of lighten the mood a little bit. This is the reason why don't avoid books of the Bible that you don't enjoy or don't understand, because God's trying to say something. Well, I really like the Psalms, but I don't really, that was dumb, I'm sorry. I don't know where that stuff come from. But I really get that because, you know, it's songs and it's cute and deers are panting for water. I get that, but then whenever I read the book of Amos and God's trying to kill everybody, I don't get that. Okay, listen, just let God speak. Don't go, well, I don't do that. Is that another really kind of good practical example? Just using books of the Bible. Don't do it that way. Well, I don't read Amos because it's scary. Well, God has something to say, or it wouldn't be there. Right? Or it wouldn't be there. Book of Revelation, scary. Well, it says that you have a special blessing if you'll read it. Why? Because it's the revelation, not just of things to come. That's the minor part of the story. That's the backstory. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it says in the beginning of the book. It's trying to speak. It's trying to say something. What's the position of our hearts? That's the fundamental difference between both of these two places, both of these two churches. Why is Corinth riddled with issues and problems? Because they struggle receiving the word and applying the word rightly, because they play petty, weird games about who's talking to them. The Thessalonian says, I'm just going to receive the word as what it really is. It's the word of God, and that word is at work in me. Doesn't matter who told me. When I hear it, and my spirit testifies with it. I mean, it's that 1 John, test those spirit. When it makes connection, I'm there. I'm with it. I want that. And it doesn't matter who it comes from. It doesn't. And so what's the question? Well, the question's simple. Personally, inside, which one do you identify with most? The Corinthian church or the Thessalonian church? The Thessalonian church, which one? In your own personal heart, which one do you identify with more? That would be the question. Do I tend to reject the words of God? Or do I tend to struggle receiving the words of God if it doesn't come in the packaging that I like? If it doesn't come in a way that I like? Or do I just want every ounce of what God can speak to me? Or maybe you just kind of fall in between, because it kind of depends on what's, right? The second the word wants to say something about your marriage, you go, wait a second. Right? All right. The second the Bible wants to say something about your money, hold on a second. Not really sure. Let me double check this. Right? Or is our heart completely receptive? If I hear the words of God, I want them. Because that's what it really is. Maybe it's even just simply that when you come in here, you understand that when Pastor Curtis, man, in an amazing way, presents the words of God, that you don't see it as, man, Pastor Curtis, but you embrace it as what it really is, and that's the words of God. Maybe you struggle seeing that. That's really what's happening in this place. That the words of God are going out. This is the reason why we have such opportunity as a church to influence this whole region. But listen, it starts right here with the level of our maturity on receiving God's word. And I understand this is horribly pastoral, but I'm one of the pastors of Harvest, remember? Right? So I'm not a visitor. And so I'm trying to be one of your pastors today and saying, look, we have an incredible opportunity to influence our region, but it's going to come down to things as simple as this. And we're going to need amazing maturity as we walk through the next six parts and we kind of dig into the First Corinthians issues and how we struggle with some of the same stuff, and we're going to have to receive the word rightly and to let it change us and transform us. We're going to need maturity, church. And if we want to influence this region rightly, to realize all of what God has planned in His vision and His mission of our church, we're going to have to get ourselves into this place where we say, all I want is the Word. If I can just get the Word of God implanted in me. Listen, I love how Paul said it. Man, the guy that plants the seeds and the guy that waters are one. We're one in this thing. There is no division there. We're one in this thing. And it works just like that. Let seeds be planted and then let them be watered. But listen, not one pastor on our staff can bring increase into your life. Not one. Not a one. Who brings increase? God. How do we get that increase? Yielding our hearts to just allow that seed to take root, to be watered, and then to sprout and grow and let God bring life into it. To change and transform us. But that takes maturity. That takes maturity. And it's allowing God to grow us up into that truth. Which one are you? Individually, which one are you? Because then as we begin to change our thinking, we'll receive the word rightly. God's got great things for us, church. He really does. He's got great plans for our Amarillo campus to reach Amarillo Canyon, these surrounding communities. He does. That's why we're here. And what we don't want to do is it gets stifled by our little petty issues that we have. We don't want that, do we? Well, only one of us. Cool. I think I got a couple of head shakes over here. Excellent. Thanks, guys. We don't want that, do we? We don't want our lives to be derailed by little petty, weird things, small things in our lives. We don't want that, do we? Small divisions that creep up. We don't want that, do we? No, man, we want God's word to be proclaimed and for His word to strongly take root and then to sprout and grow into life that can affect this city, the regions around us, up and down I-27, for us to reach the world for Christ. That's what we want, and it starts right here. So on any level that might be a struggle for us, man, let's ask God to help us. And so if you have anything, let me just throw it out there. If you have anything to pray for this morning, if you got any need this morning, that's why we're here, is to join our hearts together. If you're like, man, I probably relate more to that Corinthian church, man, where sometimes I struggle to receive God's word rightly. I let other influences get in the way. I let the world influence get in the way. I get into, you know, petty issues and trying to receive it. You know what, Pastor Chad, I'm like you. I get hypercritical. Like even now, I've been critical of you the whole time because I could just do it way better than you. Okay, that's fine. And I understand you probably could. I get that. But don't let that stand in your way of receiving God's word. It's better to not do that. It's better for your heart. You're not robbing anybody but you, even if you could get up here and do it better. Right? And I believe that. Pastor Curtis could certainly do a better job. I can promise you that. You know that. I don't even have to tell you that. You were already thinking it. But listen, don't rob yourself. You're going to rob yourself of receiving God's word if you don't hear it. So that's the reason why I love Jesus, and I'll end with this. Jesus kept saying, he that has ears, let him hear. He that has ears, let him hear. He that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit's saying. If you got ears this morning, hear the words of God. Not the words of a man, the words of God. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for just the truth of who you are and the truth of your word. And your word is beautiful. Your word is hope. Your word is life, God. Your word is love. Lord, your word is everything that we need, God. It's who you are. And so, God, we're so thankful, Lord, that you reveal yourself to us. We're so thankful that we have your word so that we can just know your heart, know who you are. And so, God, we are wide open to hear from you. And so, God, we love you and we trust you with our lives, Lord. Help us to be mature believers that can dig in deep to your word and to allow it to change us, in Jesus' name.